Hi, everyone. It's Brian. Before we jump into today's interview with Chris Wojcik, NHL Director of Event Communication and Player Relations, let's talk about today's sponsor, the University of Florida. Go Gators! The University of Florida offers an online master's in sports management. And I'll tell you, I have met many people connected to the program, students, alumni, professors, and it is a top-notch master's program. Their online master's degree in sports management is flexible and comprehensive. Program is a perfect fit for those looking to have an impact behind the scenes in sports, exploring critical aspects such as sports analytics, facility operations, and guest relations. And the program is 100% online and can be completed part-time or full-time, which is perfect for busy working people who want to advance in their career with in-depth knowledge and expertise. For more information and to download a free brochure, check out ufsport.org. One more time. More information, free brochure, ufsport.org. And the Work in Sports podcast is brought to you by workinsports.com, the number one job board for the sports industry. I'm doing a quick check right here. We currently have 12,501 active jobs in the sports industry highlighted on our job board. That's crazy. Think about that for a second. I have people telling me every day, it's so competitive, it's so hard, I'm not getting noticed. Look, I get all that. But on our site, you're going to get the formula you need for success. Career advice and guidance from me, Brian Clapp, 20-year veteran of the sports industry, and every single darn sports job there is in the marketplace, all in one spot. 12,500 active jobs right now. That's crazy. I'm looking through, this is just the first page of my results. I see a marketing and community relations coordinator opening, a sports marketing associate for a major university athletic program. I see an NFL team hiring an associate producer for digital content, assistant athletic director. I mean, seriously, we have it all. I'm not going to list them all, but that would be boring, but we've got tons of great jobs. Sign up today and get your sports career going in a direction that will make you happy. If you're a student, we have an incredible deal. Just visit workinsports.com/students. And if you're not a student, well, we have a deal for you too. Check workinsports.com/playoffs. We're running a crazy 75% off promotion right now in the heat of the NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs. So get in on it. workinsports.com/playoffs. All right, let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for workinsports.com, and this is the Work in Sports podcast. It seems like forever we have put the big four sports on a pedestal, dominating the U.S. sports market. But let's be honest, the four have kind of drifted apart. The NFL and NBA have clearly separated from the pack, and Major League Baseball and the NHL have been struggling to keep up with the top-level growth. Not only that, they've had a bevy of sports attacking them from behind. Soccer has grown in the U.S., with the MLS entering its 23rd year and adding successful expansion teams seemingly every year. Lacrosse and rugby continue to grow domestically. But the NHL still holds seat number 4 in U.S.-based team sports. The ratings for this year's Stanley Cup playoffs are the highest they've been since 1994, despite the lack of many major market teams. Rangers and Islanders, gone. That means no New York market. Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, gone, gone, gone. But in Carolina, Colorado, Columbus, Dallas, St. Louis, and San Jose, each market has been setting local ratings records. The reason for the spike in ratings? Drama. We all love drama. And while the first two rounds of the NBA playoffs saw chalk results, with best teams sweeping lesser teams, the Stanley Cup playoffs were just the opposite. The first two rounds included 34 one-goal games, 15 overtime contests, and 5 game sevens. The Columbus Blue Jackets swept the Eastern Conference number one seed Tampa Bay Lightning out of the playoffs in the first round. Tampa tied the NHL record for regular season wins and failed to win a single game in the postseason. They finished the regular season with 128 points. The next closest team had 107, and they didn't win a single game. The Calgary Flames, the number one seed in the Western Conference, also lost in the first round to the Colorado Avalanche, who barely even squeaked into the playoffs. I'm not going to go into more detail here because our CEO, John Mellor, is a huge Flames fan and he may fire me. So I'm going to leave that one right where it is. The point is, the Stanley Cup playoffs have trended towards a more dramatic and more suspenseful event than their competing NBA playoffs. And guess what? The fans have noticed and arrived, which is why I wanted to bring back my interview with Chris Wojcik, NHL Director of Event Communications and Player Relations. He's in the craziest time of his year right now, which makes it all the better to talk a little business of hockey. Here's Chris Wojcik. Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Good, Brian. Thanks for having me.
This is great. I'm very excited to have you on because you have a wealth of experience that I think will be really useful to our audience. Let's start off by getting just a deeper understanding of your role with the NHL. Your title is Director of Event Communications and Player Relations, which sound like two very distinct things. Take us through the event communication side a little bit of your role. What's kind of your main responsibility there?
So the event communications team works on PR strategy for a variety of events. So, for example, the NHL Outdoor Games, the All-Star Game, the Draft, NHL Awards, Stanley Cup Final, and then also international games, which this past fall we had some preseason games in China, one game in Beijing and one game in Shanghai, and then we also had a couple regular season games in Stockholm, Sweden. The international is also part of that.
Do you travel on the road for these bigger events?
Yes, we travel on the road. Typically, we're there about a week ahead of time.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, getting the buzz about the event going throughout the week leading up to the games, which typically are on weekends.
So you must have relationships with a lot of the press in the local area and the markets that you go to with the NHL. When you go international, that must change things completely. You have a whole different group of people you're trying to get to know or schedule press junkets with or whatever it may be. How difficult is that doing international work?
International is very interesting. It's challenging, but it's a lot of fun. It's neat to A, grow the game, but also get to meet some new people and see some new places. In China in particular, we used a PR agency to help us, partly because they could speak Chinese, but also they had a lot of the contacts already in China. And then in Sweden, we also worked with our partners there.
Right.
Live Nation was our partner there, and they were very helpful with their media contacts, and then we basically just build off of those, and it's great. I mean, you add some new contacts, and you get to meet some new people.
Yeah, it must be different to see, like, when you go to games now, you're used to the fan base, you're used to their excitement level, but when you go to a new market, a completely different experience. I know in Sweden, obviously, they're used to the NHL experience, but in a place like China, I mean, you're seeing a totally different reaction level, I would imagine, to the NHL game. I mean, it must be kind of exciting just to see a totally different take on the game or a different viewpoint.
Yeah, it's a neat experience. I mean, when you think back, it was the first hockey games for the NHL ever in China.
That's crazy.
So a lot of people in the stands or people that have, you know, attended any of the events around it, it was the first time they may have had any type of live exposure to the game of hockey, which is great.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's something to continue to build on.
What about the other side of your job? What about player relations? In the past, you've worked for the Florida Panthers and the Arizona Coyotes, so a role in player relations has a very clear objective. You have your team, you have your players, you have to work with them. But acting as a conduit between your players and the media, you were acting as a conduit between your players and the media. Now that you're with the league, how has that role and your daily objectives kind of changed or adjusted?
I think the daily objectives are fairly similar, promoting the game of hockey, promoting the league, promoting the players. It just becomes broader. One of the things at the league that the event communications team works on is what we call a player media tour. We have one in Europe for the first time this year, which was in Stockholm, Sweden, and that was for European players, and then we had one in New York, which traditionally that's been the location for the North American players. And essentially what it is each team sends a player or two to this tour, and at the tour basically the players go through a media car wash with rights holders,
right,
social media, external media. That's an example of something that's very similar to what you would do at the at the team level.
So it sounds like you have a lot of events or either media events or player related events that go on that you have to prep and plan for. Is your day-to-day existence, I would imagine it's a lot different from day-to-day. I'm not saying that it's all cookie cutter or the same, but do you have certain daily objectives that you're trying to hit, or is it kind of just you have these events you have to plan for, these things you have to get ready for, and it's all preparation for the event and then starting the next one? What's kind of your day-to-day process?
Well, it's been pretty consistent in this fall, event to event, so there's been a lot of focus on that. Certainly, yeah. There's other things that are going on, but because this past fall we had preseason games in China, then we went right into a global series, which was in Sweden. Then coming up here in December, we have NHL 100, which is basically an outdoor game between Ottawa and Montreal celebrating the 100th anniversary of the first ever NHL game, which was actually played between Ottawa and Montreal.
Yeah, very cool.
Course, yeah. And then we have Winter Classic right after that. And then right after Winter Classic, you're in the All-Star. So essentially, you're planning out event to event at this juncture of the year.
Yeah.
Which is good. Which is good. We're busy and we have a lot of exciting stuff going on.
I think that's one of the unheralded things when I talk to people interested in working in the sports industry is that they think of it as being this very tactical day to day. Like I have XYZ things to do and then I'm done by the end of the day. But I think as you go up higher in your career, and you can probably speak to this even better, as you go up higher in your career, you have to be that person thinking 3 months ahead, 4 months ahead, what events on the horizon that we need to prepare for, rather than just what do I have to do today? Is that kind of that dynamic that shifts from when you start out early in your career as an individual contributor and then you get more into a director or higher level job, is that you just have to be able to think that much further ahead?
I think in any job, it's just about evolving. You know, so much has changed in the media world specifically over the last 10, 15 years when you factor in social media and digital media and,
right,
and all those factors, and so you're always looking for ways to get better and build on what you're currently doing and make things better, and you know, being able to evolve is very important, and that's one of the things that we're trying to do all the time within our department.
Yeah. Before you started working in media relations and the team communications role you're currently in, you had a background in broadcasting. How much has it helped your career having been on kind of both sides of the mic, understanding what the media needs and also understanding the rules and restrictions that a team may have?
Well, it gives you a different perspective. You know, it helps you understand and respect the job, and also it helps you, you know, give the ability to do their job better. You have an understanding of what specifically could help them.
Yeah,
and I think that's valuable, just to have kind of that, you know, having been able to see it on that side.
For sure. So with the range of responsibilities that you have with the different events you have going on, and then from social media to player relations, you're dealing with a lot of different types of people within the NHL. And at your previous jobs with the Panthers and the Coyotes, you've probably dealt with entry-level people, multimillion-dollar athletes, rookies, executive staff. Do you have a personal management style that is kind of consistent across the board, or do you have to adjust your methods with different people? What's your approach to leading staff?
Well, people have different personalities and styles. I think the biggest thing is you have to respect people and understand where they're coming from. People, you know, have different roles and different responsibilities, and you know, you have to be able to adapt to that.
How important would you say then is just this, you kind of hit on it a little bit, the relationship building. You're building relationships with media members, with external partners wherever you go, with your own staff and the own people around you, executive level, et cetera. How important is it to have those skills? Like if you want to advance in a sports career, how is important is it to have those relationship building skills or those cultural fit skills along with or being compared to the actual like hard skills, like being able to write a great press release or being able to manage an event? Like how do you balance those needs of soft skills and hard skills?
Well, relationships are critical specifically to that. I mean, they really are in any profession, but there's so much crossover in sports media, as you know, Brian.
Yeah.
Those relationships really spread to so many different areas and, you know, different types of media, sometimes in sports. So, you know, having those relationships are critical.
Yeah, exactly. You've been around a lot of different types of people in the sports industry, and you've worked in various regions of the country. What's your kind of assessment of why some people thrive in sports and others kind of flame out? Have you noticed a pattern or a formula that leads some people to success and other people to just not being a good fit for the sports industry?
I would say it's a lifestyle. You have to embrace the lifestyle. You have to love what you do. I think those that do are successful. It's a lot of hours, but it's also a lot of reward with the hard work that goes into it and being involved with a lot of fun events.
You know, what's it like? I when I worked in the sports media and I'd be in the newsroom and there'd be people that would walk, you know, Joe Montana walks in one day or Shaquille O'Neal walks in one day. And I spent so much of my time excited and awestruck in a way. And it's funny, just before we got on this call, you were like, hey, Pat LaFontaine is in the conference room. Give me 5 minutes. And I'm thinking, man, it's a Hockey Hall of Famer you're just hanging out with in the office. What's it like just being in that environment around some of these pillars of the game that you've just watched as a kid or grew up just like in a way idolizing or admiring? What's that kind of environment like for you even now as you've been in the industry for a long time?
Well, it's something that you can never take for granted. I mean, you get an opportunity to meet so many different athletes, in some cases celebrities. And as you said, a lot of times guys that you idolized growing up, and there's just so many great people involved with the game. And, you know, as I mentioned, you can't take it for granted. And you do have to sometimes take a step back and say, you know, that was pretty cool. And it's good to be able to do that and reflect as well, because it makes you appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, it's one of those special things about working in the sports industry. It's not like, you know, just being in the business world. There's a special quality there. One of the things I tell people all the time is that in my experience in the sports media, hockey players are unlike any other athletes. They're more accessible. They're more excited to talk to you. They don't have this. I mean, you talk to some football players and they have no interest in being anywhere near you. But then when you work on hockey stories, it's like, yeah, sure, I'll come talk to you. In your view, why is that? Is it a league or team objective to make players as accessible as possible? Or are they just a good group of guys that just, I don't know, just are easier to get along with?
Well, I can't speak to what it's like working with pro athletes on a regular basis from other sports, but I agree with you. Hockey players are extremely accessible. They are just so generous with their time, not only with the media, but in the community. And I've had nothing but great experiences throughout my time working in hockey.
Yeah, it's so nice to see that you can just deal with them on a very personal level. And I just, even from a media perspective, I've always had the greatest luck with working with hockey players in general. So what about you on a personal level? How did you get your first job out of college? And then what advice would you give to somebody that's looking to break in and wants to work with a team or work with a league? Like, what's that thing that propelled you to this point of your career?
Well, I think the one thing that I would say for those that are coming out of school is to be as versatile as you can. What I mean by that is, you know, being able to do a lot of different things. I know a lot of times people that are coming out of school, they're interested in maybe working in a specific sport or with a specific team, and those are great goals to have. But there's so many different you know, sports out there where you can learn and get the foundation for what your ultimate goal is without pigeonholing yourself into kind of just focusing on one specific area. So, you know, being versatile, always being open to learning. We talked about it earlier. You have to constantly evolve, find ways to get better, find ways to tweak what you're currently doing and grow it. And then in terms for me and my first ever job, right out of school, was with the Auburn Double Days, who are a single-A baseball team in upstate New York in the New York Penn League.
Yeah.
The job was media relations and also being the radio broadcaster. And the team had kind of had a tradition of hiring recent Syracuse graduates. Auburn's about an hour away from Syracuse for that job coming out of school. And I applied and was lucky enough to get my first start there.
So that sounds like, I mean, I've suggested to people a lot of times that the minor leagues are a great place to look and to start their careers because you get to do so much, because they have generally very minimalist or Spartan staffs, and they ask people to do a lot of different roles. Like you said, you were in media relations, but also doing the broadcasting. Would you agree that that ability to get in and get your hands in so many parts of the sports business world really helps set you up for the next stages of your career working in the minors?
Absolutely. I mean, the minors is a great way to just learn about the sports business in general. I remember, working in Auburn. You know, we would help pull the tarp.
Yeah.
We helped run the baseball camps and clinics. We helped with the team services for the players on the road trip in terms of, the travel accommodations, handing out per diem, all those different things that kind of go into being involved with minor league baseball. And, you know, when I look back, there's so many different things that you're observing, and you get to do it, hands-on. As you continue to grow in your career and you're working at different places, staffs are larger, and people kind of work in a specific area and they kind of just stay in that area. A lot of times in the minors, you get to do a lot of different things, which is great experience.
Yeah, it's so great to get that. You really understand how all the different pieces and parts that go into putting on an event each night that people take for granted. They don't realize it. You know, somebody needs to pull the tarp and somebody needs to do all those different things with the players and their relations and things. So I do think the minors are a great way to start a career. Nowadays, more and more teams are creating their own media and content departments, whereas information back in the day when I was coming up in the media always used to funnel through newspapers and television stations or cable networks. And now the teams are controlling the messaging. How much has this approach changed external communication and PR from when you first came into the industry versus now? How much have things changed and developed from when you started till now?
Well, Brian, it's a great question. You know, in many cases, you also have former media members, right?
Yeah.
That were external media, and they turn into or they switch over to internal media for mm-hmm. teams or for leagues. So it's added another layer of coverage, which I think is a huge positive. And also, I think one thing that has changed, it's allowed for more storytelling. In a lot of cases, your own content also sometimes becomes a pitch to external media. Sometimes it can create an idea for another story, or it might be something that external media is interested in building off of, and something that you've built in your internal content.
Yeah, separating myself from a media perspective and just looking at it from a fan, I love the behind-the-scenes access that teams are willing to share more of now, because they know exactly what's getting out there, and they can still, you know, have that moment to edit it and make sure nothing goes out that isn't supposed to. But just to show the players and their personalities and their behind-the-scenes activities, I mean, I think that stuff is a great way to connect with the fans and to build the personality of the athletes as well. I would think in player relations, that's something you must really enjoy as well.
Absolutely. There's just so many different platforms now, and also players are more savvy on creating a lot of that content sometimes on their own. You know, certain personalities and certain players, certain athletes, they're just naturally very good at it, and it's great for growing the game, and it's great for fans to be able to have all this extra access.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you so much for your time. I know you got a crazy busy day, and I appreciate your giving us the time to learn a little bit more about your career with the NHL.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. If you're new to the show, make sure you subscribe, rate, review, share with friends, tell your professors, tell your barber about it. Everyone's fair game. We want to keep growing this show, so please get involved. Join our private Facebook group. Come hang out with me on Facebook Live this Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Connect with me on LinkedIn. And don't forget, at workinsports.com, we have over 12,000 active sports jobs. If you're looking to launch or grow your career, we are the best possible site for that. We have career advice and guidance, plus all the available jobs in the sports industry. Thank you for listening. And thanks to Chris Wojcik. Now, it's time to get back to work, people.